عيون تفكر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته يسير إلى بوفة الأطعمة And the book, Umdat al-Ahkam, written by Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ali ibn Abbas and Zahdan bin Mutawwif al-Jarmi قال كنا عند أبي موسى الأشعري فضاع بمائدة وعليه لحم دجاج فدخل رجل من بني تيم الله أحمر شبيه بالموالد فقال له ألم فتلكى فقال له ألم فإني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل منه From Zahdan, the son of Mubawwid al-Jarmi, may Allah be pleased with him, to say, كنا عند أبي موسى الأشعري. We were with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came from Yemen, and they all embraced Islam. And he was made a governor on the part of Yemen during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as he made another companion as the governor on the other part of Yemen, and that is Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. Zahdan said, we were with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. فداع بمائدة وعلي لحم. He called for a مائدة وعلي لحم دجاج. When they say مائدة, that is something on which somebody eats. Just as we have it in Surah المائدة. أنزل علينا مائدة من السماء. It is not a mouth that it must be a table. So anything that is spread for people to eat or eat, this could be called مائدة. So it was presented, فداع بمائدة. In another report, it was presented with a مائدة. وعليها لحم دجاج. On this مائدة, there was lahm dajaj, the meat of what? Hen, that is chicken, that was chicken on the ma'ida. فَدَقَلَ رَجُلُ مِنْ بَنِي تَيْمِ اللَّهِ A man from the tribe of Banu Taymi Allah, a man from the tribe, that is Bani, means tribe, from Bani Taymi Allah, from the tribe of Taymullah entered upon them. Ahmar, the man was red in complexion. Shabihun bin Mawali, there was a resemblance of the three slaves, that is, the man had a resemblance of the three slaves. The man was like a slave, but he wasn't a slave. But because of the redness of his complexion, it was the slaves, the known Arabs, that would look like that. So this man from the Banu Taymiyya came in. فقال له أبو موسى told this man, هلم, come on, come and eat with us. فتذكى. So the man hesitated. فتردد, that is the hesitated. فقال له هلم. He said to the man, come and eat. فإني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل منه. I saw the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم eating from it. Now this is just a summary of the incident. To go back to a Muslim, to a Bukhari, the detail of the incident. When this man entered upon Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and those who are with him, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was presented with this food, that is, with chicken. So when this man was invited to join them, this man hesitated and he said, no. They called him again, he said, no. The reason, he said, I detect eating it because I've seen it eating fish. And since then, I've taken an oath, not to eat it. So it was then Abu Musa told the man, he told him, Alum, come, Muhaddithuka Anhad. Let me tell you about this. That is about the oath. Abu Musa told him that he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating chicken, and he also told this man about the vow, sorry, the oath that he had sworn. So two issues. But he also only reported or narrated one that has to do with Kitab al-At'ima. The other one has to do with the oath. When Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and some people, they went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him to give them mount so that they will also participate in the jihad that they were about to go. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore an oath that he will not give anybody mount. He will not give anybody mount to this jihad. But later, some camels were brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he had to call Abu Musa and his people, about four or five of them. He called them, he then gave them the mount, the camels to ride on. So as Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and his people, they were going, he now said, we have made the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forget his oath, that he has forgotten that he has send an oath that he will not give anybody any mount. So now he has given us right. So what are we going to do? We'll be thankful for this. So let us go back and remind him of means that the only thing of Allah is taking an oath that he will not give anybody mount, and he has given us. So they now went back to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Messenger of Allah. Then told them that I'm not the one that gave you mount. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given you mount. Then in addition to that, I will not take an oath on something that I will not do something. I now discover that doing it is better. Instead of I do that thing and I will escape my oath. Obviously. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did what he took an oath that he would not do. he did that thing because he knew that doing it is something that was, that is good. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari used this story to tell this man that one chicken or the meat of a hen or a cock is not something that is haram. Why? I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating it. This shows that what? Adajaj is permissible. But the man still had what? Something that what? He had finished eating something that is filthy. So for this reason, he took that oath that he would not eat it. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari narrated that story to him, so that what? He would break the oath and eat something that is lawful for you. The fact that you see it eating you doesn't mean it is what? It is haram, it is permissible. Now, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade al-jallala. Al-jallala refers to animals that feed on fish, on human faces. Wa al-baniha likewise eat meat. Does fowl have the meat? Huh? No. So this is referring to camels and the like. So and that's why scholars agree that it's not okay for one to eat jallala because of what? Because of this hadith of the Prophet of Allah. So any animal that is feeding on fish, it is not okay to eat such an animal. We cannot eat his meat, we can't take his meal. Likewise, the urine should not be taken. So on and so forth. Now, since when? Scholars disagree. Some said it is a camel, cow, they should be kept for 40 days, fed with good food, then after that one can eat. Some said 7 days. Abdullah bin Umar was allowed and he would keep hen or cock for 3 days. Cock that is feeding mostly on fish. You know, it is natural that cock or hen will feed or rot on fish. It is natural. Only that is not their major food. But if they see fish, they watch, they will feed on it. So cock or hen that is feeding majorly on what? On fish, such a cock or hen should be kept for 3 days based on the fatwa of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, which shows that what? If the hen of a cock is kept for 3 days, then it is a tahir. It is tahir, it is got pure. One can pick it based on this. Some scholars said there is not any evidence that really say one should keep it for so and so day. The most important thing is that what? Whatever they feed upon, that thing will change, that will be sihala. They will change. When that thing changes, then it is okay for one to be changed. So these are statements of scholars on this matter. So we are on the same side, it's good for one to keep any animal that is feeding majorly on fish. If that animal falls among the animal that you can eat, but because it's feeding on fish majorly, I want to eat it, it is good for us to keep it so that what it will be our nourish with good food, then after that one can eat it, because it also has impact. The food that it takes has impact. Somebody who takes maybe drinks some things, for instance, when you relate him, the odor of what you have taken, sometimes may be fatigue. And the food that you take, somebody takes poison, for instance, man, this works, this will lead to the little death. That shows that what you take has something to do with our body. And that's why when the Sharia says we should not take things that the animals with fang and the animals in the poor, the fish, they hunt. So when the Sharia tells us not to eat that, scholar said, the reason is that one will not be behaving like the wild animals. Because if you eat their flesh, this may also have impact on you. So the aim is in permission to eat it as long as it is not feeding majorly on fish. As long as it's not feeding majorly on the fact that it feels it fits on fish once in a while, that doesn't take the general rule. The general rule is that what it fits on something that is halal, then it is halal to eat it. So the fact that M fits on fish at times does not make it a jamlala. A jamlala is an animal that feeds majorly on fish. That is a jamlala. Any animal that is not feeding majorly on fish is not regarded as jamlala. So this should be understood. Now, the way some of these hens or the chickens, the way they are treated, maybe they will mix blood with some food and give it to them. Is that not jamlala? Now, according to the strongest opinion, this is not jamlala. Because the blood mixed with that food may have what? Changed. It's hard and they have occurred to that thing. So when, what they are eating is not the blood direct. So if there is a halal. But that's why it is permissible that they can eat things like this. And it is permissible that you can also eat chicken that is that are fed with this type of food. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala was asked concerning things like this, that this end that are being, or this chicken that are being fed with blood mixed with some other things, can we eat them? The Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala said, yes, you can eat them. This does not then before that, this doesn't make them jalala. So that's why we should understand things like this. One, it is permissible to eat egg, so this is not something that is strange, because a lot of us we eat chicken. So but somebody was running away from egg because they had seen it eat just one day. Or sometimes they was running away from it. But we say what it is permissible, one, because Allah says what? وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. So we have this general text. Now if one thing, this general text is not enough, maybe there is a hadith that prohibits the judge, but you don't know. We say, okay, we have another evidence. And that evidence is what? The hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, that رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ. I saw the messenger of what? Allah eating from it. So we have two evidences, the general evidence and the specific evidence. Now we say we can stick to the general evidence, but one who does not want to destroy his religion, he what? He avoids eating kajat, for instance, if you have not seen evidence that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate it. Because there may be a text saying it is not. It is haram to eat it. But now we have plenty specific evidence saying what? It is permissible to eat it because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate it. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أَكَلْ أَحْدُكُمْ طَعَامًا فلا يمسح يده حتى يلعقها او يلعقها. From Abdullah bin Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, the Prophet said, if anyone of you eats a food, فلا يمسح يده, He should not clean his hands حتى يلعقها until he licks it أو يلعقها or he gives it to somebody to lick. Now, the reason is that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let us know that this remnant of our food that was the barakah of what you are eating. Another report said, you don't, anyone of you doesn't know in which part of his food they got their barakah. So may Allah save us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us alright. A lot of us, when we eat, we don't take any cognizance of this, we don't mind it. We just throw away our food anyhow, we eat, what we like, we throw away the rest. So some of us, we throw away the barakah of our food. And we eat what is not there, barakah. The Mashayikh, they explain that at times, somebody may say, what, I'm paying good salary, despite all this, no, there is no barakah in it. Because what will be barakah in his affair? You are throwing it away. You are giving it to Shaitan to take. And that's why Nabi of Allah said, who will eat your food? Fall down. He said, you shouldn't leave it. You should take it. He said, one should not leave it on to eat it. Because you don't know whether what has fallen in what is the barakah of that food that you are eating. So the Prophet taught us the table manner. Now if you look at it, you go back to the books of Sunnah bin Dawud and Tirmidhi, you see a hadith on this. And that's why Islam is not something that is restricted to you entering the mosque, your brass collar, and the main thing you do whatever you like. No. The way you eat, who would be wearing the etiquette Islam teaches you? The Yahoo, they were telling the Muslims that, telling Salman al-Faris that the Prophet taught you everything. Hatta al-Qur'an, who would be wearing the etiquette? They taught you. When you want to dedicate the prayer that you say before you enter, and when you come out, the prayer, you know, everything is planned, covers everything. But the Muslims, we don't have regard for this. Instead of us speaking to this adab, taught by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we now speak to the adab, or the ways of the kuffar. The Muslim wants to eat, he will use his left hand to eat the fork. If you ask him, this is against the teachings of the Prophet Allah, the Messenger of Allah, Allah said that you shouldn't eat with your left hand, you should eat with your right hand. For in the Shaitan, Ya'kul wa Yashrab, Bishimal. Shaitan eats and drinks with his left hand. You see, you hear a lot of nonsense when you tell somebody left. So you want to drink, you drink to the left. You want to eat, you eat to the left. Following the adat, the culture, the custom of the kuffar. And one who doesn't do that, people will look down upon him as if it's not civilized. So until you behave like the kuffar, that is where you are civilized. No. That is culture, their own culture. That doesn't mean that what they say makes sense. The way you address does not mean that what you don't have something in your head. Some people, their own culture is for them to tie wrapper. The men. What is wrong with this? That is their own culture. Because somebody is putting on shirt and trouser, putting on coat, putting on tie, doesn't mean that person has something in his head better than somebody who is tying wrapper. But because of this Western mentality, you believe that if you want to be corporate, you want to be civilized, you have to dress the way the Americans dress. You have to dress like the Britons. Otherwise, you are not civilized. So the extent that someone who cannot speak English, you believe that what the person is not civilized. What has English got to do with what? With civilization. That someone who cannot speak English. See the way you see it. The white man does not see it that way. We are more British than the Britons. If you have any international conference, for instance, the Arab man, maybe the King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah of Jordan, the King of Morocco, they all met. They all meet, for instance. This one will speak his own language, they will interpret so that the Prime Minister of Britain works to hear what they are saying. So that Obama can also work here. Obama doesn't understand Arabic. So when the Arab man speaks, they will interpret to him. When Obama speaks English, they will interpret to the Arab man. What makes Obama better than the Arab man? All these English that you are speaking, if you go to Germany, you will be looking for interpreter. And the German will not believe in himself because you understand it, you can speak in English, not believe that what you are saying, these are the civilized people. Because with all these German that they are speaking, they are producing cars, they are producing drugs, they are producing all this. The white man, the Britons, they are also producing. So you are producing, we are producing. So what makes your English better than my own German? What makes your English better than my own French? Everybody is proud in their own language. Sheikh Adam, rahmahullah ta'ala, narrated an incident. He said he was in a conference. So an Hausa man was in that conference, so he had to speak Hausa language. He said, we are going to speak Hausa, so we have to be proud with our language. So the Sheikh, rahmahullah ta'ala, he was amazed with this. So I was speaking to him, said, what you have to do? It's probably our language. And I said, some people now say, we have to speak English. Why can't you speak English? So somebody said, why can't you speak English? English is not our language. So we have to speak our language. The Sheikh of Allah said, he asked the person, if you had desired, if you had wanted to learn English, he would have learned it better than ever because Arabic language was far, far, far away. So they took that thing to learn this Arabic language and they were good at it. So if they had wanted to learn English, they would have outdone a lot of people. That's somebody who is saying that English that you speak doesn't make anything. It's a subject matter. What are you trying to say? That is what matters. If you speak, and there is no any sense in what you are saying, it is rubbish. That's why some people, they fool themselves. They say, okay, we have a language, I think the prophet has died. What is in their book? Nonsense. You know when Asian guy is right to people believe as he works, that is a prophet that is saying something. Look at most of what this man has written. Nonsense. Somebody is a professor of theater art. What have I got to do with theater art? What has that got to do with my life? But because we do not understand the value of Islam, we do not understand the importance of Islam, we try to throw away Islam and what to take to the way of the kuffar. We believe that what? Their way is the right way. I mentioned of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the seller man kana qablakum shibran bi shibrin hat wa zara'an bi zara'at fa law dakhalu juhra rabbi la dakhaltumuh. You will follow the way of those who preceded you, inch by inch, span by span. Who if they are to enter the hole of the lizard, you join them in entering it. So we have our own adab that we ought to stick to as Muslims. يقول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أكل أحدكم طعاما فلا يمسح يده حتى يلعقها أو يلعقها. If it is a food, he should not wipe clean his hands until he has licked his hands or give it to somebody to eat. His wife will eat it. That is wrong. The child may lick it, the garden, the slave may lick it. So this is part of the adab of Islam. So that what you not mean, you don't know which part of your food. There's a lot of you giving your, the barakah of your food to shaitan. You lick it so that you get the barakah. Or you give it somebody that you love to eat, to lick it so that the barakah will not go to shaitan. This is a teaching of the Prophet Allah. Today, if you want to drink, a lot of us, may Allah save us. You take a cup because you are eating with the right hand. Now take a cup with the what? With the left hand. Some of us will be deceiving ourselves. You pretend as if you are holding the cup with the right hand. But if you are to remove the left hand, now what happens to the cup? The cup is full. And somebody may say, but you know, the cup is clean. My friend, don't disturb yourself. If you finish using that cup, you are taking it to. You are going to wash it. Because you use your left hand to take the cup, to use the cup in drinking. Does that mean after your drinking, it will be placed it will be kept like that without washing? Since they are going to wash it, whether you use your left hand in holding the cup or use your right hand, after finishing that drink, what is going to happen to the cup? They wash it. So drink with your right hand. Even if it is clean, it doesn't mean anything. But for us to use the left, because we want to be civic, we want to be civilized, we want to be. This is not our own adab. We have our own adab that we have to stick to as Muslims. So let's go to the book of Sunan, like Sunan Abi Dawud. We have a lot of ahadith telling us about the table manner, things that we should do when we are eating, things that we shouldn't do. Things that Abu Sahaba is not composing, that if you do them, it is good, we are emulating the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, does this hadith mean that we cannot eat with spoon? Does the hadith mean we can? Does it mean we can't eat with spoon? The answer is no. This is if you are eating with your hand. If you are eating with spoon, no arm. You lick the spoon as well. But it's not in the hadith that you should not. We have a hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat with three fingers. That is if he was eating with his hand. But I saw any text that says one cannot eat with what? With spoon. What some people are spreading today in our society that you have to eat with your hand. If you don't eat with your hand, then you are being bigger. There is no scholar that is saying this. Not from the scholars, not from the contemporary scholars. Things that make somebody say this because such a person is not exposed to what the contemporary scholars or consuming what they say. And it is very, very dangerous. For one to be saying things that you don't have a scholar for, it is dangerous. The problem of this is for somebody to feel that he has gotten to the level of ijtihad when he has not gotten to anywhere. So what the person is saying, he may be thinking that this is what the scholars have said, whereas the scholars have said something contrary to what he has said. And that's why I don't know of any single, any scholar that says it is haram to use food. No single scholar is saying this. The respected scholars, they all allow the use of what? The use of food. But the most important thing is that when you use food, you have to do what? You lick it as well as the Messenger of Allah said, فَلِيَ لَعَقَ هَا فَلِيَ لِفَا. In fact, food is gotten from what? لَعِقَ مِنْ لَعَقَ. The Arab will say what? مِنْ عَقَ. From the word la'iqa, the verb la'iqa. So there is nothing wrong in that. saying that is bid'ah. No, it is not bid'ah. But if I eat with, if I want to eat my with my hand, the sunnah is what? Three fingers. It is sunnah to do that. As Imam Nawawi ta'ala explained the explanation of the hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will eat with three fingers. So that is the sunnah. But who is not eating with his hand? He's eating with spoon, no arm. Just like somebody who is drinking from the bowl or from the cup. Must, is it permissible for us to drink from the cup? Or we must put our hand in water and what? And drink it. So if it is permissible to drink from the cup, then it is permissible to what? To drink from the spoon. The spoon is what? It's like a small cup. But some of you who doesn't have a understanding of things, say what? Haram to use spoon, but permissible to use what? But what type of cookie is this? You are putting the cup, you are placing it in your mouth, you are also placing the spoon in your mouth. So if you are to take Ogi, for instance, will you put your hand in the Ogi and start walking? So, and that's why this is what people with 13. This is a very thick understanding of text that scholars are not saying. They always concerning the first hadith, that is on the Dajjal. The same person is saying that what you can't eat the chicken that you have today, because they are what? They are all jandala. This hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is clear. The man said what? He detested eating it because of what? Because he saw it eating fish. And Abu Musa said, away from that, I saw the Messenger of Allah do what? Eat beans from it. Who was the one that is what? Jalala, Fola, the said what? He should be careful from time to watch the meat becomes pure. But for one to say don't eat Jalala, you don't eat what? Egg, you don't eat, chicken, you don't eat the egg, you don't forbid a lot of things on yourself that Allah is not forbidding. SubhanAllah. This is what musiba. And that's why it's very, very important to stay where the scholars have stayed. And Imam Ahmad will tell one of his students, Abu al-Hasan Maymuni, who said, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَقُولَ كَلْمَةً لَيْسَ لَكَ فِيهَا إِمَامٌ. He will say, avoid taking a position that you not have salaf. You don't have what? Imam. A great scholar says such a thing. But for someone who is just a beginner, or somebody who is just a local champion, for him to start what? For inventing something, this wallah is dangerous. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَكُونُ مَا تَسِكُ وَالْسِنَاتِكُمُ الْكَذْبَ هَذَا حَرَامٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ لَا يُفْلِحُونَ. So it's a very good thing for one to say anything is haram when you don't have evidence for it. It is good for somebody to hide under a great scholar if at all you want to say something like that. But for him to believe that what, after I understand Arabic language, I can also what, say something, as a lot of people will do today, this is dangerous for our religion. The one who sticks to what the scholars have said, and their statement, as long as it doesn't contradict the statement of the Prophet of Allah and that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person will protect his religion. And his mistakes should watch. Will be minimal. But when you believe that what you are also an authority, you don't mind disagreeing with what the great scholars, you don't mind fear of the great scholars, then there is danger. So these two ahadith, the one on the judge, the one that has to do with what the end is clear for it. Likewise, the one that has to do with what eating with al-mil'aqa, the third scholars did not want against this. الله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.
I don't know of any hadith on this. I don't know of any hadith on this. Allah. As long as what they are eating is not something that is haram, there is nothing wrong in that. A Muslim eating with kafir, women are the one's father the kafir or one's mother the kafira. So Islam has not said one cannot eat with them. So there is nothing wrong in this unless it's the food itself is something that is haram. Allah.
Wine became halal when it is eaten at war. Then the people will say, someone needs to eat your hand, to carry cough, to eat your mouth, eat your right hand, these things with the palm oil or whatever. I want to believe that the judge.
Now the judge is air or cock. Why is it for these people where it is warm? The reason why it is for these people is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, he allowed it. Why to this haram, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam avoid eating it? So this shows it is for these people. So because the judge that is air, if at war at times doesn't mean we shouldn't eat it. The major thing that the judge is on is the what is called corn, millet and the like. This is what it is on. So the fact that if at war at times doesn't mean we cannot eat it. As I said, once we have the general evidence, we will let it call up a lapun. Martin R.P. general. So this is the general test. So one who wants to run away by saying, I'm still afraid, so I'm not saying it's haram, but I'm still afraid. The other thing that is specific is enough, and that is the evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ethic and ethic, the companion is ethic. So this shows that it is permissible for Allah.
Are there any hadith that prohibits
now concerning, I think the second question that can one hold a cup with two hands? I've explained that any person is trying to hold a small cup with two hands while the person is eating, what the person is trying to do is to hold it with the left hand. That right hand is just something of it's not really supporting the camouflage. So if you just remove the left hand, the cup will fall. So don't let us receive the sunnah. Huh? If you want to take it with the left hand, let us know you are taking it with the left hand. So one will be judged as what? Going against the sunnah clearly. So I want to stick to the sunnah by taking it with the right hand. Only the cup is going to be changed. with oil. That doesn't mean anything. So we should not shy away from the sunnah. Nobody has said that the culture of the people that we are trying to emulate is binding on us. That is what they see. So and they are free to do what they see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really want to reward them, to either to reward them or punish them. But for you as a Muslim, you have to stick to your religion. You have to be proud of your own culture as well, your life.
Okay. Collecting or
giving the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also forbids that. Says we should not give and take with the left hand. Says because the shaitan that takes and gives with the left hand. So let us avoid this. So people out of their compulsivity and trying to believe to somebody. You know, when you are sending young ones at times, you bring money from your pocket and you give him Kinewa. This is also a sign of arrogance. Why can't you give the person with the small money with your right hand? And a lot of us do things like this, so it is against the sunnah. So when we are taking, let us take with the right hand, and when we are giving, let us give with the right hand. So in a situation where somebody is one-handed, that he doesn't have the right hand, only has the left hand. But somebody doesn't have what a genuine reason. It is possible for him to give with the right hand, take with the right hand, eat with the right hand, drink with the right hand, but he doesn't want to do that out of compulsivity. This is without the sunnah, the genuine sunnah. You know, this is the case of a man that Messenger of Allah was instructed to eat with the right hand. Not the last day. I can't eat with the right hand. And he could. But he said last day. So Messenger of Allah said he will not be able to do it. The reporter said, "On Arafa, I had a wound with that." So he never lifted that hand to his mouth. Huh? This is what? This is arrogance. So don't let us believe in the sunnah. In anything that Messenger of Allah tells us to do anything, as long as we know this thing is what, it's a command from the Messenger of Allah, let us try to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasuli idha da'akum bima yuhyikum. So you respond to the call of Allah and the Messenger. Is the call to what? Bima yuhyikum. What will give you haya, what will give you life? The Sharia of Allah gives you life. But for you to feel that what Sharia of Allah when you implement it is a kind of burden on you, this is what Allah is doing the fun. It's misunderstanding. This is inspiration of shaitan. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say.
That's the question that I believe that. I'm interested because just before we get to the office, we're talking about something like this. Now, is it permissible for a Muslim to attend because the wife is a Muslim and the husband is a Christian and the brother silent to a friend of mine that he didn't understand Islam for attending first wedding? If I need more clarification. Also, leading to that is this, can. Okay, what can I do to be get married to a non-practicing Muslim from me and born in Islam? Secondly, can or get married, to a Muslim Christian with Islam background but attending or going to church? The question is that can you get married to a Muslim born with a Muslim background but non-practicing? The other one is when they married to a female with the same background but attending church.
Now, the first thing that we also understand is the difference between a Christian and a Muslim. Huh? A Christian is different from an apostate. The one who apostatized from Islam is not like an original Christian or an original Jew. They would pass in Islam the ruling is that what you should be killed if you are in an Islamic government.
So don't think a Mustadu or a Mustadda as if you are treating a Christian or you are treating what a Jew. They have a different case. So when Islam says you can marry a Christian, not that you can marry a Muslim who has apostatized to Christianity. No. He's a Mustadda. Huh? So a Christian who is a kafra, a priya, now get married to a Muslim or get married to a Christian. Then I invite us to this type of wedding. Can we go? The answer is yes and no. Yes, if they are not displaying anything that has to do with God, Kofru or Ma'asi. They are not displaying things that are Kofru. And they are not displaying things that are what? That are sin. If a Muslim invites us to a wedding and they are displaying things there, can we sit there? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهْزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَكْفُرُوا مَعَهُمْ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ. Allah has revealed to you in the book that when you see people making disbelief with the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or doing things that against that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَكْفُرُوا مَعَهُمْ, do not sit with them, حَتَّى يَقُولُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِهِ, until they enter into something other than that. Allah did not say don't ever speak with them, that is with the paternity. But if they get involved in things of kufru, things of ma'asi, Allah said to them, do not speak with them. When can you speak with them? Hataya hudu hadith with them. Enakum even misluhu. If you decide to speak with them, you are like them. If what they are doing is what is sin, then you are also sinful. If what they are doing is what is kufru, you are a kafir as well. In Allah, Jannah is not begin with kafir, even in Jahannam, Jannah. So what if a Christian now invites us to a wedding where mafia is being done? Maybe they are drumming, they are dancing, doing all this. In that case, you can sit there. If you sit there, know you are sinful. If the start chanting things that are kufru and you sit there, so it's like what you are pleased with them. You are pleased with what they are doing. So the answer is but no. If what they are doing there is not haram, then you can join them. If what they are doing is haram, then you shouldn't join. Only if those who are organizing are Muslims. So this is the ruling. But a Mustadu or a Mustadja? A Mustadu says it's getting married, or a Mustadja says she's getting married, you should not go here. Because that is not the ruling on that of that person. The ruling of that person is what? Numbat daradinahu baqtolohu. But we are not in the land of Sharia. The government is not implementing that, then you don't take law into your hand by executing such a person. No. Because that is not in your hand, it's in the hand of the government. For that reason, you should not treat the person as if nothing has worked and happened. So Allah.
I think I'm not clear that.
The answer?
Yes, I'm not clear about the answer. Is yes, I don't know what you mean by mafia in Christian marriage, because I don't know of what you mean by mafia.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that the Jews, they invited the Prophet of Allah to come to them and he attended and he asked them. So it is the son that says it's haram for us to eat in the house of a Christian or a Muslim. So, maybe not allow these ones who not have attended, if there was, if there had been any mafia in it. So, if we have a situation where they are doing something that there is no mafia, then we can attend. Umar Adalani was given an invitation into a church by a pastor, and Umar Adalani will enter it if not for this portrait that you have placed in it. So that is what a injured on. That is, they would have entered if not for this portrait that were kept in the church. And these were meant as what items of worship. So if we should give the rule, if there is no mafia, then it is permissible. Because Allah says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ يَسْتَوْتَكُمْ. the food of those who are given the scripture is halal for you. So when we say we cannot eat it, which food are they talking about? If they invite us to wedding, then wedding is something that the God permitted. Unlike when they invite us to participate in their festival, which is what? Which is haram. But wedding, any ceremony, all these are what? Permissible. So the only thing why we cannot attend is if there is mafia. Now the question that we ask, I mean also ask this question, that is there any Muslim meeting that there is no mafia in? Tell me any marriage that you go today that will not speak to people doing mahar today.
What I'm actually referring to is that I know that most Christian marriages, even for the extent of the bride, they kind of thought they would show maybe not look like.
You know, the problem is that most of those who also attend our marriages, they will also put on clothes like that. And we have attended weddings where some people they will dress up naked to do the wedding.
And they are Muslims.
In fact, some parents will be starving in public camps because they want to please their friends. So there are a lot of mahasis in the marriages. So because of this, we will not say what attending marriages is wrong. But the ruling is, if there are mahasis in marriages, then you don't attend. That is the ruling. So then you have to individual to know the level of mahasis that you are committing. Wallah.
There are still a lot of questions to answer. Of course, time is not always enough for us. So let's not forget that tomorrow is the case to start from tomorrow around the movement, inshallah, from 9 a.m. After, inshallah, and we'll be back.